Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and in the next two half-hour segments, we're going to be taking a look at a subject which, for lack of a better term, might be called Anglo-Saxonia versus Germania, or perhaps World War II Redux. With the end of the Cold War, once again, the old struggle between powers on the face of the earth, known as the Game of Nations, in the 19th and early 20th centuries, has resumed once again. Behind the nice facade that's being maintained between the NATO allies, such as Germany on the one side, and the United States and Britain on the other, in fact, there are very severe tensions developing once again. And as I've stated in numerous past broadcasts, I think that the alignments of World War II are being coalescing once again. And I see Germany and its allies on the one side and the United States and Britain on the other. It's a struggle that I expect Germany to win simply because I don't think the United States and Britain are fully cognizant of this. And Germany, including the deadly Bormann organization, have been aiming at this for the better part of 200 years. And they have a head start, and I expect them in time to win. That may not be the case, and it certainly isn't etched in stone. And I think if people find that disturbing, and they should, then they should get off their hindquarters and get busy. Very, very significant article in that regard appeared in the San Jose Mercury News of Sunday, July 18th of 1999. That's today for the benefit of people who hear this program live, and obviously it is on July 18th, 1999, for the benefit of people who hear it on tape. This article was originally a Washington Post story, again run by the San Jose Mercury on 7-18-99. It's by William Drozdiak, D-R-O-Z-D-I-K. It's headlined, Britain and Germany Wage War Via Newspapers. It's datelined Berlin. And it reads in part as follows. Britain and Germany are at war again, but this time the battlefield is splattered with ink rather than blood. Prime Minister Tony Blair and Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder may get along famously as fraternal souls who espouse the same brand of social democracy. But newspapers in both countries are waging a viciously chauvinistic campaign that might make readers think the Blitz is still going on. For months, the war of words has steadily escalated. British commentators have suggested that moving the seat of Germany's government back to Berlin will resurrect Nazi ghosts, hinting at an evil Teutonic gene that will channel a secret power lust into leadership of a European superstate. In turn, a new generation of German writers and diplomats has struck back at the British by accusing them of engaging in a xenophobic frenzy rooted in the insecurity of a lost empire. Despite appeals for restraint by Blair and Schroeder, the broadsides reached an unprecedented degree of animosity recently after critic A.A. Gill, G-I-L-L, unleashed a brutal diatribe in London's Sunday Times, lamenting the, quote, undiluted misery, humiliation, and groveling apology of German history. By the way, the London Sunday Times is very close to the power elite of the United Kingdom, also was quite close to British intelligence as well. So this article, certainly very unequivocal in its sentiment and wording, probably represents far more than the individual view of Mr. Gill. Continuing with this story, one possible remedy, he suggested, would be to hang a sign on the Brandenburg Gate emblazoned with the slogan, Amnesia macht frei, or Amnesia makes you free. It was an undisguised reference to the cynical slogan hung by the Nazis over the gate into concentration camps, quote, work makes you free, unquote. By any measure you care to choose, the creation of a greater Germany has been the greatest disaster, the cause of more misery than any other political act in our continent's history, unquote, Gill wrote. Again quoting, what can they do to stop us seeing them as Europe's psychopaths, unquote. The article triggered feelings of public outrage rarely seen in Germany, where a stoic response to the Nazi label was long considered the price to pay for post-war reconciliation and a new sense of European kinship. But with the ascendancy of Schroeder, who claims to represent the 50 million Germans or two-thirds of the population without any personal ties to the war, there has been a greater tendency to fight back. Gebhard von Moltke, M-O-L-T-K-E, Germany's ambassador to London, said he very rarely feels moved to take up his pen in response to an article. But after reading the Sunday Times piece, he fired off a letter to its editor, John Withrow, complaining about its, quote, profound xenophobia, unquote, and the detrimental impact it would have on relations between the two countries. What disturbed von Moltke and many other Germans was what they consider the irresponsible revival of hostile stereotypes and the denigration of a half-century of Germany's accomplishments as a faithful and trustworthy member of the Western Alliance of Democracies. Quote, Germany is the country that invented the idea of predestination, the Lutheran concept of being born into a sin, and it is only in Germany that I've ever really understood what that truly means, Gill wrote, again quoting, hating the Hun is perhaps the only thing that truly emulsifies the rest of us. Those are certainly very strong sentiments, and I find the very conflict itself extremely significant. As I've spoken about in numerous programs in the past, including RFA programs 2 and 37, as well as numerous miscellaneous archive shows, and the For the Record segment, For the Record program number 50, a 13-part program, the myth of the denazification of Germany is quite simply that. It never really happened. This is not to say that all or most Germans are Nazis, but the institutions were never denazified. The anti-communist, anti-labor, and pro-eugenic stance of the Nazis, plus the profound capital relations between the United States and the Nazis, as well as some elements in Britain and the Nazis, not only made it desirable from the Western viewpoint to keep the Nazis in power in Germany behind a democratic facade, but it was really more or less inevitable in terms of the realities of power politics. In terms of Germans not being connected to the Third Reich, the fact of the matter is that the wealth enjoyed by Germany today is the result of having essentially plundered all of Europe during World War II. The precise methods in which that plunder took place is discussed at considerable length in the For the Record segments entitled The Tides of 20th Century Capital Flow, a very important series of segments. It's not to say, again, that all or most Germans are, or most or all Germans are Nazis. Far from that. There are many fine Germans of sincere democratic instincts. That was true in the Weimar period as well. It's one of the reasons why the Gestapo first turned its fury on the German people themselves. The fact of the matter is, though, that the wealth enjoyed by Germany is plunder, and its institutions have never been denazified, and Nazism is coming to the fore once again in Germany. The landmark book, The Beast Reawakens by Martin Lee, documents that, and that book is still, by the way, available. The fact of the matter, too, is that Germany has, since the end of the Cold War, been behaving in a geopolitical fashion that is very much akin to the way it has behaved in the two world wars, and it is once again striving for European empire. The Balkans War is a German creation with the support of Germany's fascist allies in the United States, the Bush-Reagan axis, and I use the term advisedly. But the destabilization of Yugoslavia and the precipitation of the Balkan Wars was a German show. The very first act of the reunited Germany on the international stage was to precipitate the first major war in Europe since the Second World War. And the fact of the matter is there is some very strong evidence behind the scenes that the reality of German attitude has not changed despite the elaborate attempts at representing things in the contrary fashion. I'm going to take up once again an article that I only was able to deal with briefly due to the limitations of time. And again, I don't want to be misunderstood as being anti-German. I'm anti-fascist, and I spend most of my program I've spent most of my program over the last 20 years attempting to combat American fascism with a very limited degree of success, I might add. Research credit on the following goes to a member of the listening audience. The following is from the London Sunday Telegraph, Daily Telegraph, the electronic telegraph. This is an article by Francis Harris in Prague, and it's headlined, VW's joke in Nazi ad angers Czechs. It's dated March 25th of 1999. That was a Thursday. This article reads, an advertisement for Volkswagen cars that made a joke of Hitler's occupation of Czechoslovakia on the 60th anniversary of the invasion was withdrawn by the German car maker yesterday. The company expressed deep regret for the full-page promotion published in the Czech Republic. A VW spokesman called the advertisement, quote, disgusting, misleading, and unjustifiable, unquote, and said disciplinary action was being considered against those responsible. The montage showed military-style arrows superimposed on a Czech map with the caption, quote, the Great Spring Offensive, unquote. And skipping down, an official statement said, quote, the advertisement was formulated in such an unfortunate way that it might have been linked to the historic wrongs of the Third Reich, unquote. The promotion was not deliberately timed and did not seek to celebrate the invasion, the firm said. But some Czechs took issue with that yesterday. They asked why, in the country's biggest-selling newspaper, the promotion was placed opposite a page packed with pictures showing Hitler and his troops on the streets of Prague. The arrows on the advertisement also followed the invasion route taken by the German army. Well, the statements by the Volkswagen officials, by the way, Volkswagen, one of the core German corporations, and the original Volkswagen was designed by Ferdinand Porsche for Adolf Hitler. The statement by the Volkswagen officials that this was an unfortunate error is simply not credible. In the first place, the notion that simply as a matter of coincidence, as a matter of caprice, the arrows would have corresponded precisely to the routes taken into Czechoslovakia by the German army when they invaded in 1939 is more than one could reasonably expect from chance. That's simply not credible that that was a chance occurrence. Beyond that, German businessmen are nothing if not thorough, and a major advertising campaign in a foreign country would necessarily have had to have been reviewed and at some length by numerous executives within VW. And this flagrant, tasteless, something that makes the wording of Mr. Gill in the London Sunday Times look moderate by comparison, for all of the disclaimers by the VW officials, this has to have been deliberate and is indicative of the fact that the German beast underneath this democratic surface is as it has always been. And again, I don't want to be misunderstood as being anti-German. I have some friends who are delightful people and good anti-fascists who are Germans. But the fact of the matter is that Germany has not changed, and much of the blame for that, by the way, lies with the United States, as I've said in the past. Nonetheless, I think citizens of the United States and the United Kingdom and elsewhere should take stock of the current lay of the land. I'm also going to review briefly an article which is terribly significant. I've spoken in the past about the German and EU pressure on the Menwith Hill National Security Agency station at Harrogate in Yorkshire in the United Kingdom. That, in turn, is part of the Echelon signals intelligence network that is maintained by the United States and other members of the British Commonwealth, including Australia, Canada, and New Zealand. I've spoken in the past about German U.S. intelligence wars and their significance, and the Menwith Hill facility is one of the most secretive and important intelligence establishments in the entire U.S. intelligence apparatus. It also is very important to British intelligence, and to see Germany putting heat on Menwith Hill and on the Echelon network in turn is indicative of an absolute paradigm shift in international relations. And again, what we're seeing is a resumption of what in the 19th and early 20th centuries was called the game of nations, the struggle between world powers for dominance. And this particular article was also researched for us by a listener. It also comes from the Electronic Telegraph. This is an article by Tony Patterson in Berlin. It's dated April 11th of 1999. That was a Sunday. And it's headlined, U.S. Spy Satellites Raiding German Firm's Secrets. Security experts in Germany have uncovered new evidence of a big American industrial espionage operation in Europe using satellite listening posts in Britain and Germany. German business is thought to suffer annual losses of at least $7 billion through stolen inventions and development projects. With Europe already locked in a trade war with its American ally over bananas, Germany's high-tech industry wants its government to back a counteroffensive. The main centers used for satellite tapping of millions of confidential company telephone calls, fax, and email messages are believed to be terrestrial listening posts run by the American National Security Agency, or NSA, at Menwith Hill near Harrogate, North Yorkshire, and Bad Aibling, Bavaria, with the backing of the American government. Quote, industrial espionage is becoming increasingly aggressive. Secrets are being siphoned off to an extent never experienced until now, unquote, said Horst Telchik, T-E-L-T-S-C-H-I-K, a senior BMW board member and a former security advisor to Helmut Kohl. He is trying to coordinate a German business response to the spying problem. Well, first of all, there is, of course, industrial espionage that goes on as a matter of routine. The United States does conduct industrial espionage against Germany and other countries, and Germany does the same thing. A major center of German espionage in the United States and in other countries are the Goethe Institutes. They masquerade as cultural institutions and do serve that purpose to a certain extent, but they're fronts for German intelligence, according to Professor Wilhelm Stauffer, an expert on German intelligence who has alleged extensively the Goethe BND connection, and the Wilhelm Stauffer tapes are available from Spitfire. Beyond that, German firms in the United States conduct industrial espionage as a matter of routine. Here in the Silicon Valley, the Siemens firm is undoubtedly an epicenter of German espionage. And beyond that, in the Deutsche Bank's purchase of Bankers Trust. The Deutsche Bank officials indicated that the Bankers Trust purchase was basically effected in order to secure a Maryland-based venture capital firm called BT Alex Brown. That company is a venture capital firm heavily involved with Silicon Valley venture capital startups. And indeed, the Deutsche Bank indicated that the main reason for the purchase of Bankers Trust, whose chairman, by the way, was frozen off of the Deutsche Bank board of directors, the main reason for the purchase of Bankers Trust was to secure BT Alex Brown in order to significantly boost Deutsche Bank's involvement with Silicon Valley capitalization. That will also inevitably result in increased Silicon Valley espionage and the siphoning off of trade secrets. All of which is to say that the Germans do it to us and we do it to them. For the Germans to be scapegoating the Men with Hill listening station and the Echelon program for their economic problems is pure dribble, and I think indicates once again the resumption of the hostility between the nations and the resumption of what was called the Game of Nations. Again, both countries do it. Germany's economic problems stem from a lot of different sources, including reunification, a major reason for their problems, and it is not. Scapegoating the NSA is pure chauvinism and xenophobia in the worst way. It's not to say that we don't conduct espionage against them, industrial espionage, including through Men with Hill. Of course we do. They do the same thing to us, and I would note that it's a major element of German law that no foreign interest can own a controlling stake in any of the German core corporations, including Volkswagen, Siemens, Deutsche Bank, Daimler-Benz, or now Daimler-Chrysler, etc. That is forbidden by German law, and that's one of the areas where they get a leg up on others. More about Men with Hill. Apparently there is a campaign at the Men with Hill site in Harrogate in North Yorkshire to open up Men with Hill and Echelon. Research credit on this to a listener who mailed this in to me. This comes from the Yorkshire Evening Post. And their website, by the way, is www.yorkshire.evening/evening/post.co.uk. This is from Friday, July 16th of 1999. It's headlined, New Action at Spy Base. It reads in part, The peace campaign at the controversial Men with Hill spy base near Harrogate is set to be stepped up with the formation of a local forum to try to monitor the secret location. It follows a high court ruling this week where a judge granted campaigners a right to protest outside the American base during daylight hours. North Yorkshire County Council had been seeking an eviction order for the camp that has been based outside Men with Hill for 14 years. At a meeting in Otley last week, a group of councillors met with David Bowe, MEP for Yorkshire and the Humber, peace campaigners and concerned residents. And they have agreed to meet on a quarterly basis to provide a focus for concerns and an attempt to monitor developments at the spy base. Mr. Bowe said, quote, We need to know what the satellite interceptions are being used for. We must ensure that the interests of Britain and other European states and their businesses are fully protected. Quote, The forum gives us the opportunity to bring together available information and coordinate pressures on Men with Hill to operate under proper legal and political controls, unquote. County Councillor John Eveleigh, Eveleigh, who chaired the meeting, said, quote, There is considerable concern locally about Men with's ongoing expansion, unquote. And Count Martin this may be Councillor, it's a C-O-U-N, Martin Hemingway added, quote, We want to shed more light on this secret place and ensure that its activities conform to the law, unquote. Well, Men with Hill and beyond that, the Echelon network maintained by the British Commonwealth, including Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, in addition to the United States, is absolutely vital for the national security of both the United States and the United Kingdom. The NSA is primarily concerned with signals intelligence. That is the focus of the Echelon network, and it is vital that security of those institutions not be compromised. This will sound perhaps strange to members of the listening audience. I have spent my entire life not only combating fascism, but attempting to highlight the need for reforms of the intelligence community. This is one area where I don't think the public has any business sticking their nose in, any more than they have any business having access to the launch codes for nuclear missiles. The areas where people should get involved with trying to democratize society, and that is critical, are in the areas of political involvement. People should, instead of sitting back watching things, get active politically, devote a certain amount of each time to political activity. They should respond to their media. They should get deeply involved with attempting to get the media or get the intelligence community out of the media. That is one of the main areas for intelligence reform, as well as preventing things like the assassinations of the Kennedys, Martin Luther King, the creation of AIDS, Project Harp, and a lot of other things that most people don't seem to be paying any attention to. I don't think the public has any business messing with Men with Hill or the Echelon Network. Beyond that, an article that to me indicates the proto-fascistic or fascistic nature of the heat being put on Men with Hill, and I'm not doubting the sincere democratic instincts of people who are concerned about it. I share those concerns. But the fact of the matter is, things like organizing unions to combat corporations, cleaning the intelligence community out of the media, preventing abuses like mind control, a political assassination, the trafficking in drugs, those are the areas where the public should be active in terms of democratizing intelligence functions. They have no business messing with Men with Hill or the Echelon Network, in my opinion. A critical article in this regard was carried, actually an op-ed column, was carried in the San Francisco Examiner of Monday, July 5th of 1999. This is an article by Lisa S. Dean, and it's about the Echelon Network, including Men with Hill, and it's headlined, Big Brother is Listening to You. And this is significant because Lisa Dean is director of the Free Congress Foundation Center for Technology Policy. The Free Congress Foundation, well known to veteran listeners to this program, it is a fascistic organization founded by Paul Weyrich, inextricably linked with the whole Galen ABN milieu that I've spoken about. And we talked about that at considerable length in Radio Free America 36, the destabilization of the Soviet Union in Eastern Europe, a prelude to World War III, unquote. And we're going to reprise a section of that program in the next half-hour segment. This is Dateline Washington, and again, Lisa Dean of the Free Congress Foundation writes as follows. The little game is up. The cat is out of the bag. Or should I say that some Australian politicians are in orbit? You see, many different countries have participated in a spy satellite system. It is known as Echelon, but no one wanted to admit that the system either existed or that they were party to it, much like the blue code of silence, unquote, that has afflicted some police departments who cover for one another when the other commits a crime. Well, now Australians have broken the code of silence by officially admitting to what many of us have known for a long time, that Echelon exists and they are a part of it. It won't be long before other nations, including the United States, are forced to admit their involvement as well. After all, in Congress, Representative Bob Barr, Republican of Georgia, has already managed to get an amendment passed by the House that would force the intelligence community as well as law enforcement to set forth the standards and criteria by which they conduct foreign and domestic surveillance. While that amendment still has to pass the Senate and survive a Clinton veto, the fact that the House of Representatives is questioning our current government surveillance practices is significant. This concern will likely shed light on the very issues that entities such as the National Security Agency want kept in the dark, out of sight from the American people. It will likely force the agency to admit to the existence of Echelon and that the United States is the principal partner in this global surveillance network that is being used to not only spy on American citizens, but on foreign businesses. Put together by the National, by the way, note foreign businesses, and note Lisa Dean is with the Free Congress Foundation. It's a fascistic organization which, in my opinion, is part of a Nazi fifth column, literally a fifth column in this country, loyal to what I term the Underground Reich, and it is not an institution which in any size, shape, form, or manner is concerned with democracy or the rights of the American people. It is concerned with fascism, and its track record will speak for itself. We're going to talk about that in the next half hour. But note here that she also, the aforementioned Lisa Dean, is concerned about America, about Echelon spying on foreign businesses. That's what the Germans are concerned about. Continuing. Put together by the National Security Agency, the Echelon system is said to be a network of satellite dishes here and in friendly nations intended for random interceptions of email, faxes, telex, and telephone communications carried by microwave. Computers and analysts sift through haystacks of messages for needles of information. Information gained from obtaining secrets about foreign competitors is passed on to American business leaders. That has kept many American businesses in the Clinton-Gore camp and has caused them to remain silent on issues they would normally oppose. During the Cold War, from 1946 to 1989, many things were done by our government to keep ahead of the Soviets. Most Americans didn't want to know what was going on. They trusted their government to act in their interest. I have no quarrel with that. The Soviets were a serious enemy. Currently, we have no enemy of such stature. We have smaller problems such as Saddam Hussein and Slobodan Milosevic. I would add, with organizations like the Borman Organization, we have an even deadlier enemy than the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union really was not our enemy. They were trying to protect themselves from us. And most of what we were told about the Soviet Union was BS. It's not to say I hold a brief for their system. It was flawed. But they were not after us at any point. They were never under our beds and are not under their own anymore. Continuing. Perhaps if Echelon were monitoring their communications, it might be of significant benefit to us and our allies. But those of us who love freedom want to know why Echelon is needed to monitor our overseas communications. We want to know when and how it is being used against American citizens and to what extent. We want to know why our government has expanded its surveillance operations to include those whose rights they are supposed to be protecting. We might very well have a significant enemy in the future, and a spy system such as Echelon would play a critical role in its defeat. However, that enemy will be a foreign one. It will not be the people of the United States. So a word to the intelligence community. Stop testing your surveillance technology on the people whose welfare you are supposed to be looking after, and let's get Echelon out in the open to explore just exactly how and for what purpose it continues to function. Those words all sound very fine and nice if one does not understand the heritage of the Free Congress Foundation. On the other side of this tape, in the next half-hour segment, we're going to review a long segment from For the Record, from RFA Program 36, the destabilization of the Soviet Union in Eastern Europe. One of the reasons why I find this column so significant, it indicates to me that the destabilization of the United States that I've spoken about is well underway, and although the words sound nice, when one realizes that the Free Congress Foundation, the employer of Lisa Dean, who wrote this article, has never at any point been concerned with the civil liberties or democratic rights of the United States or anybody else, their preoccupation with compromising the signals intelligence of the U.S. through the Echelon and Men with Hill stations takes on a very sinister character indeed. We're going to take a look at that in our next half-hour segment. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.